Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and on our 825th day together in the Word of God, we are starting the Gospel of John. Wonderful, wonderful gospel, a book that I've preached through before at Forest Hill Church, and we will be spending some time in the Gospel of John over the next couple of months, and so I hope that you can be with us for all of these studies as we go through this wonderful and rich gospel together. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we begin today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Every part of your word is a blessing to us. We begin now the Gospel of John, a wonderful gospel full of Christ, full of truth, full of great and rich theology, full of wonderful, powerful transformational truth for our lives. We pray that you be with us and that you would write your word on our hearts, that you might conform us to the likeness of Christ, that we might walk more closely with him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about that light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'No, I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.' Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, 'Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, 'I baptize you with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.' These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and remain. This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. and I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God!" The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That is John chapter 1, and such a rich and full chapter. Oh boy, we don't have very much time, but the prologue to John's Gospel, these first 18 verses, are just a magnificent theological account of who Jesus is and what he came into the world to do. John is richly Trinitarian in that he is trying to help us understand that Jesus is fully God, but that he was sent from the Father's side as the one who was with the Father and comes from the Father, but that also he comes in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit resting upon him and anointing him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, and yet one God. Other pseudo-Christian cults like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, they mess this up, and they say that Jesus is another God. He's another divine being alongside the Father. Maybe the firstborn creation of God, the first creation of God, the first one to become God or something like that. But no, there's one God, only one. And he exists eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is consistently what is seen in Scripture. And Scripture really doesn't make any sense if you don't understand it through that lens of Trinitarian orthodoxy. So Jesus was in the beginning with God, and Jesus was God, and Jesus comes forth from the Father as the Son who is God, the Son who comes forth from the Father. He's the light who shines in the darkness. He's the life of everything, because without him, not anything was made that has been made. John the Baptist, who is he? This is super important for the gospel writers to explain, because you see, there were two great scandals about the life of Jesus that caused people to stumble. A scandal is something that causes someone to stumble. And so the two great scandals about Jesus' life, not that Jesus ever did anything wrong, but the two things that caused especially Jewish background people to stumble in considering Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior, as the Son of God and Savior of the world, was one that he was baptized by John, because that seems to indicate that John was actually more important than Jesus, if John is baptizing Jesus. And the second is that he died on the cross. He died on a Roman cross in a death of open shame and humiliation. How could he then be the Messiah, the Son of God? So, John helps us to understand, John the Evangelist helps us to understand that John the Baptist was one who came as a witness, and that the baptism of Jesus by John was his witness. He saw heaven open, he saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and he said, "This is the one that God sent me to prepare the way for." John's very clear in this chapter that he's not the Christ, but he's been sent ahead to prepare the way for the Christ. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone. Any light that we have, any understanding, any wisdom, any knowledge, any truth, any goodness, any righteousness that is in the world or in anybody anywhere comes from Jesus. Do you understand that, how profound that is? The true light which gives light to everyone was in the world, verse 9 says. And verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is universal. Any amount of goodness or truth or righteousness or love, light that is in the world comes from Jesus, who is the light of the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him and his own people did not receive him. So the world should have known him because he was the maker. His own people should have received him because he was the Word of God made flesh, and they had had the Word of God in their possession for hundreds of years. And here comes the Word of God made flesh. Here comes the maker of the world into the world. And the world doesn't know him, and his people don't receive him. And yet, God says to anyone who does receive him, who believes in his name, you have the right to become a child of God. Because you're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but you're born of God, if you know that Jesus is the Son of God come into the world. That only comes to you by the grace of God. The Word, the very Word of God that spoke the world into being and that shaped the world and that has guided God's people for century upon century, the very Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And he has a glory that is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And when he was in the world, he spoke such powerful words of truth and did such powerful deeds of righteousness and love and power that he showed that he has truth and grace, that he has glory from the Father. He is the full revelation of God. No one's ever seen God, but the only God who's at the Father's side has made him known. And then we have this account of John the Baptist's testimony of who he's not and of who Jesus is. And we see that John's whole purpose was to point people to Jesus. And so even his own followers leave following after John the Baptist and they go after to follow Jesus. And this is what happened, not just with these two here, but with so many of the disciples of John the Baptist. When John was arrested and put in prison and then executed by Herod, they followed Jesus. And John wanted them to go follow Jesus. He wanted them to go and follow the one who is the Son of God, the one who doesn't just baptize with water, but who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That means he anoints with and empowers his people with the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that he himself is empowered by. Twice in this passage, John calls Jesus the Lamb of God. In verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then again, verse 35, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus came into the world, and part of why he wasn't recognized, part of why he wasn't received, is that he actually came into the world to be the Lamb of God, to offer up his life for the sin of his people, to be the atoning sacrifice that we need to be rid of our sins and to be reconciled to God. And so he had to be rejected. He had to be despised and rejected by men, as Isaiah 53 says, if he's going to embrace being the Lamb of God. So the first followers leave behind John the Baptist and go after Jesus. One of them is named as Andrew. The other one is not named. And the fact that the other disciple is not named means it's most likely John, the son of Zebedee, which means Andrew brings his brother, Simon, and then later John is going to bring his brother, James, the other son of Zebedee. So they bring their brothers. This is such a great witness. The very first people that we should be testifying to, the very people that we should be most eager to share Christ with are the people of our own family, of our own household. I know sometimes that can be the hardest people to talk to. You go to a family gathering, you know, we just had Easter, and you know, we get together with family once or twice, or maybe a couple times a year. Maybe you get together with your family more frequently than that. Sometimes they can be the hardest people to talk to about Jesus, but that's who we're called to talk to, those who are in our lives. And so we see that example, these first two disciples, probably Andrew and John. They both have brothers, Peter and James, and they bring their brothers to Jesus. And then Philip. Philip comes to follow Jesus, and he goes and finds Nathanael, who's also from Bethsaida. And he says to him, "We have found the one, him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote." He knows that this means the Messiah. That's who the one was written about. The one who was written about ahead of time is the Messiah. He's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael immediately, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was a small village in the hill country of Galilee, in really a backwater, no connections significantly. It wasn't as important as Bethsaida. It wasn't as important as Capernaum. It basically was always being compared to towns that were more important than it. And so he says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And yet very soon he's going to be really one who makes this a very, very strong profession of faith, Nathanael does, because Jesus says this strange thing of, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Presumably Nathanael was by himself, perhaps praying to God, perhaps longing for the Messiah. And Jesus says, "I saw you. I wasn't there physically, but I saw you." And that means that he has supernatural knowledge. He has the knowledge of God. And so Nathanael says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus responds to him and says, "Was that enough to make you believe? You're going to see even greater things than that." And then he tells him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you'll see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is a reference to Jacob's vision in Genesis of a ladder stretching from earth to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending. And Jacob was being shown there Christ. And really, the cross is the place where heaven and earth are reconciled, where Jesus represents man before God, making atonement for our sins. But he also represents God to man, showing us the love of God on full display, where righteousness and justice meet, and where reconciliation is accomplished between heaven and earth. All of this in the first chapter of this wonderful gospel to show us who Jesus is and why he has come, and why it is so important for us to believe in him, to follow him, and to tell others about him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are great. You sent your Son, the wonderful Savior, the Lamb of God, the light of the world. Help us to trust in Jesus and to tell others about him with an eager joy, with a humble gratitude. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's John chapter 1. Tomorrow we are going to go back to the book of Job. Job's going to be wrapping up his defense of himself tomorrow. So I hope you can join me for that. And I do hope you have a very blessed day in the Lord.